This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Tired of feeding you some football here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, NFL Lunch style, 2 days away from the first round of the NFL Draft. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny's Rotto, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, joining us now to preview that, talk about the other NFL news on this lovely day in the Charm Cities on the Window Nation guest hotline, CBSSports.com, Jared Dubin. Jared, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
Thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right. And I know you wrote about this, the Mark Andrews speculation, which has kind of been around here, as you would expect, because Eric DaCosta last week really didn't shoot down it, the talk one way or another, where, oh, he's absolutely going to be here. We don't know. He kind of left it more like we don't know. Andrews met with the media yesterday. Feels like a Raven, but he understands the business side of things. So Mark Andrews, something a year ago at this time would have seemed unfathomable, but is there a realistic possibility that Mark Andrews may have played his last game in Baltimore?
I think it's a realistic possibility. I don't know if it's the most likely possibility, but sure, when you have a guy who's going to turn 30 and is going into the last year of his contract, and you have another player at the position that you know is good and is quite a bit younger, then yes, a lot of times you got to follow the money in the NFL, and I think this is a situation where that makes some sense.
Hey, Jared, how much quarterback movement are we going to see after the draft?
I would imagine that, you know, you'll find Kirk Cousins going somewhere else at some point, whether it's via trade or just getting released. There was some stuff from Seattle GM John Schneider who talked about that there's a little bit of interest in Sam Howell. We'll see what happens there. I don't know that we're going to see a ton after that. Like, most of the movement obviously happens before and during the draft.
How many quarterbacks go into first in your mind?
I'm sort of torn between two and three. I think it sort of depends on where Shedeur Sanders goes. He seems like the most likely second option, but if he doesn't go until later in the first round, like to Pittsburgh or something like that, is there really anybody that's going to come up from the top of the second into the first round to take someone like Jackson Dart? I believe the last time we saw a team do that, come up from the second round into the first, was with a guy you guys know pretty well, with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to be, you know, guy that we're expecting now to go fairly high and then drop in the draft? Like, Kyle Hamilton was supposed to be top five, you know, end up going, what, 14? You know, who's a guy that is going to drop some that we're going to be on draft night, we're going to be saying, damn, what's the matter with him?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the guys where there's injury issues that are sort of unknown to the public. Granted, if we knew about them, then I wouldn't be able to tell you this is the guy that's going to drop. There's been some talk in recent days about, like, Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama, having potentially some sort of injury issue that I haven't heard directly, but I've heard some people talk about in the last few days. So it's possible he could go from, you know, like the middle of the first round to the back half of the first round. But other than that, it's usually the injury guys, and you don't necessarily know about them because those kind of things aren't really public.
How about a guy like James Pierce? What's your opinion?
It's tough to say because of the way Tennessee plays defense. They give him such a head start based on where they're able to align him. And one of the things that they did was they would shift basically the entire defense whenever the opposing offense shifted and sort of moved the strong side to the opposite side. They would make sure that he was able to rush from the weak side where there was no tight end on that side. And it's really difficult to evaluate a player like that when you're just giving them one-on-ones from such a wide alignment, especially when he uses the speed to get by tackles. It's difficult to evaluate that type of player, I think.
How about your opinion of Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter? Are you in agreement that they are probably picks 2 and 3?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Travis Hunter, just he's the best cornerback in the class and the best wide receiver in the class. And to have that in one guy, it just makes no sense. It's kind of unfathomable. And you would imagine, like, you got to at least give him a chance to play both ways. And the thing about him is you essentially have three outs to getting an elite player. You can try him playing both ways, and if that happens, you've got one of the very best players in the league. You can try him as just a corner, and if that works out, you got one of the best corners in the league. And you can try him as just a receiver, and if that works out, you got one of the best receivers in the league. The three different chances to land an elite player is just so rare. And then with Carter, you know, you have the speed to get around the edge, and even though he's a little bit in the, you know, the Micah Parsons undersized defensive end kind of mold, he plays with some power too. It's not like he's just going to get bowled over out on the edge. So obviously just a really, really, really good player.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, 2 days away from the first round of the draft. I was watching a rival network, Jared, and Lewis Riddick was saying that the Ashton Gentry has an opportunity to come in here and have like an Eric Dickerson impact on maybe the Raiders. Perhaps Jacksonville could make a run, no pun intended, at him at number 5. How high are you on Ashton Gentry now that running backs are back in vogue after what we saw from Barkley and Derrick Henry last year?
I think one thing we need to remember about the running backs being back in vogue thing is the situations that both Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley landed in. They both landed behind elite offensive lines with obviously extremely high-level quarterback play and quarterbacks who are, you know, two of the three or four best rushing threats in the NFL in their different ways. And if Ashton Gentry doesn't land in a situation like that, if he goes to a situation where the offensive line isn't good or where the quarterback is sub-elite or is just not a rushing threat, it's going to make things much more difficult on him. As good as he is as a running back, we saw this with Saquon Barkley when he was in New York. Obviously an incredible talent, one of the best running backs in the league in terms of talent. The Giants did nothing. Their offense was not good. He was not nearly as good as he was in Philadelphia. So much of it depends on the landing spot, which is why there's been the, you know, I don't want to call it an anti-running back revolution, but just sort of a devaluing of players at the position relative to where they were, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s and whatnot. And it's going to depend on where he goes. Like, if he goes to a team with an offensive line that's not great, then no, I don't see an Eric Dickerson type of impact. If he lands on a team where it's a really good offensive line and they have other weapons, then yeah, you can see one of the better rookie running back seasons.
Now, Jared, speaking of O-line, how many O-line do you think go into first?
Oh man, that would be, I'd have to count them off the, I don't know that I could go off the top of my head. I mean, 4 or 5 tackles usually seems about right. You could see a couple of the interior offensive linemen, whether it's like Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker, you know, maybe you want to move
Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, Donovan Jackson could go in the first round, could go at the top of the second round. Maybe if, you know, you don't think Will Campbell is a tackle or you don't think Armand Membu is a tackle, one of those guys can move inside. But, you know, you could see those two guys. You could see Josh Simmons. I'm probably forgetting some guys off the top
Kelvin
of my head.
Banks,
a tackle.
Banks.
Kelvin Banks, another one that could potentially be a guard. You know, there are – anytime you have guys, I think, with positional versatility too, that makes them more likely to go early because you could always try them at tackle. And then if it doesn't work out there, you could try to move them inside. So I think those three guys have a really good chance, obviously. And Campbell and Membu in particular seem like they are going to go in or around the top 10.
You know what's interesting about, like, all the O-line especially the tackle prospects, the guy, you know, the Campbells, the Bank, none of the all their arm length is not what you want it to be for a tackle. That's the biggest concern, you know, about, okay, you know, move him inside. Otherwise, if he had 34 and a half inch arms, you know, Will Campbell, no, not even a consideration.
Right. You wouldn't be talking about anybody else going to the Patriots with the number four pick in that situation.
Correct.
Considering their need at left tackle. And, you know, are these hard and fast rules? Nobody will play at tackle if you don't have a certain arm length? Not really. Like, there are always exceptions to the rule, but there's a reason that the rules develop in the first place, and it's because it's a little bit harder to have success at the position. Granted, we have already seen, obviously, Will Campbell have a ton of success at the position playing in the toughest conference in America. It's a little bit different when you get to the pros, but you got to, I think, at least give him a chance to show he could do it, whether it's during training camp or the preseason or wherever else, because it's just such a more valuable player if you can get your left tackle than if you get, you know, a left guard or a right guard. So give him every opportunity, and if it's not working out, then you can say, this guy's got the versatility to move inside. We still think he's going to be a really good player.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com. Jared, appreciate the time as always. 2 days away from Jackson Dart makes someone executive of the year or gets somebody fired for that draft pick here in the first round on Thursday night in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Have fun. And Jared, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here. Break down that draft.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Jared Dubin, everyone. We'll come back. American League East report. What happened in the division last night? We'll look at the standings and tonight's schedule as well. Orioles down in D.C. taking on the Nationals. Our coverage starts at 5:30 with Mike Bordick and Tim Barbalay. Dean Kramer against Mitchell Parker. Stay tuned for that. And we're going to hear more from Tyler Linderbaum, the Ravens All-Pro Pro Bowl center. He could be getting a new contract soon, but like Kyle Hamilton before him, he's all about football right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Top here, AL East report on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Birds were off yesterday after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Reds over the weekend. Got destroyed on Friday. Came back and won Saturday. And they got absolutely embarrassed on Sunday. So licking their wounds. Headed down to D.C. tonight, taking on the Nats. Nationals 9-13 on the year, 5-4 at home. Left-hander Mitchell Parker is on the hill, 2-1 with a 185. Low 90s fastball, works corners. See if the Orioles can show a little patience at the plate. Maybe get the home run bats percolating a little bit here. 9-12 are the Orioles, 4-6 away from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Dean Kramer is on the hill. He's 2-2 with a 6.41 coming off his best start of the season, where he goes 5+, only one run allowed. So 6:45 first pitch, Orioles and Nats. Coverage starts at 5:30 here with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. And that's Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, and of course our own Tim Barbalay is getting you ready to rock and roll. Also, in the American League East last night, a game that actually happened as we were on the air, Patriots Day at Fenway Park. Red Sox take it on the White Sox, and a guy that could be annoying, unless he's on your team, Rob Refsnyder, got annoying with Chicago.
2-2 swing and a drive. That one hammered to the
rafter seats. Rob Snyder. And the Red Sox on the scoreboard. That got out fast.
Nesson on the call. Ref Snyder's his blast helped set the tone. Christian Campbell, he had two ribbies. Walker Buehler goes seven strong with nine Ks. Red Sox win that one 4-2, and with the win, take that best of four series. 3-1. Well, a 4-game series, I should say. It's not the playoffs. Guardians taking on the Yankees, start of a set there. And Jose Ramirez, one of the quiet, unsung superstars of baseball, doing superstar stuff.
Swung on and hammered. High, deep to right. Away, back and gone. Jose Ramirez, number 5 on a no doubt about it blast.
Guardians TV on the call. 3-run shot for Jose Ramirez. Manzardo goes deep for the third straight game. Gavin Williams picks up the win as Cleveland beats the Yankees 6-4 series opener there. Last night, Houston taking on Kevin Gausman and the Blue Jays. Gausman wasn't bad, but in the end, this turned out to be puffy pants for the home team.
Altuve drills one to left. That ball's going to be off the wall. It's going to score two. The ball bounds away from Roden. Altuve into second, a 2-RBI double. 3-0 Houston.
Space City Houston Network. How about that for a TV network? Jose Altuve, Brendan Rodgers, both two ribbies. Hunter Brown goes seven strong, two hit. Shutout baseball. He's now thrown 24 consecutive scoreless innings. 7-0 was the final score as the Astros beat the Blue Jays. Started that series tonight, 6-10. New York's at Cleveland. Mariners at the Red Sox, 6:45. Blue Jays at the Astros again, 8:10. The Rays are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks at 9:40. And as we've talked about, the Orioles are taking on the Nationals at 6:45. Standings update on this Turn It Up Tuesday, American League East. Yankees 14-9 on the year. They're a game and a half up on Boston, 13-11. Toronto's lost three in a row. They're 12-11, two games out. Orioles 9-12, as we said, and Tampa bringing up the rear. They're 9-13, 4.5 back. Tigers half game up on Cleveland. In the AL Central, Kansas City's been scuffling. They're 5 out at 9-14. My preseason pick to win the division, Twinkies, 7-15. Losers of 3 in a row. But anyway, thanks to the White Sox, they're not in last place. They're 8.5 out. Texas game up on Seattle in the West. Angels game and a half out. Houston 2. Athletics are 3. Might not be a powerhouse division, but it's a close one at that. NL East, Mets are 3 up on the Phillies. Marlins are 5.5 out. Nats are 6.5, as are the Braves. Cubbies game and a half up on the Brujas. In the NL Central, Reds are 2.5 out. Cardinals have lost 5 in a row. What the hell's going on there? They're 4.5 back. Pirates are 5.5 out. And in the West, Dodgers and Padres are tied at 16-7. Giants game back 15-8. Diamondbacks 13-9. They're 2.5 off the pace. And here we sit, April the 22nd, and the Colorado Rockies are already 11 games out. Up first place. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls. We'll talk about the draft, what event about the Orioles. We're going to hear from Tyler Linderbaum as well. And then Nolan McGraw takes over around 1:45 or so as we take an in-depth trip to his funhouse. Inside Access takes over at 2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Inside Access at 2. Got a fun-ass trip coming up here in a matter of minutes. Nolan's going to talk about WrestleMania, even though it might have been the highest grossing WWE event of all time. Maybe it wasn't worth the money that you had to spend to watch that thing. Oh, by the way, did you download your Masson Plus app or no?
I'm a Fubo man for this year.
Oh, you're cool?
I'm sticking with Fubo for now.
Okay. So that's what? You download the app, don't need cable, $19.99 a month or $89.99 for the rest of the season. Again, you know, I have cable, so, you know, I'm good with that one. But see if anyone's tried to investigate the newest thing, new toy that the Orioles have thrown out to you for your enjoyment so you can enjoy the excitement of Orioles and Nationals baseball, assuming the Nationals will still be part of the equation beyond 2025. Speaking of the Orioles, they're trying to get back in the win column tonight after a disastrous Sunday against Cincinnati in a 500 homestand, their longest homestand of the year. Now in D.C., then off to Detroit, taking on the Tigers. Draft is in 2 days. NFL-style NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs very much underway. Let's get out to the phones. Cliff and White Marsh. Cliff, what's up?
Hey, Bob and Vinny. Hang here with me a little bit, Bob. Yep. I've been in Europe 3.5 weeks. I haven't seen much of the Orioles, but when I've watched them, you know, whoever's buying the groceries here, they want to fire the manager. But come on, man. You can't have pitchers with ERAs like this and whips like this. I mean, you're going to lose 60% of your games easy. So I'm mortified by watching the pitch in these last couple games. And Charlie Morton, I don't know what's going on, but he's a professional. He's got to somehow turn it around somewhat so he can at least be serviceable.
Yeah, he's like WrestleMania. He's overpriced, and you're not getting the money's worth at $15 million a year. Orioles have the highest earned run average starters-wise by far in baseball, but the second worst in the American League's the Yankees. And yet they're still managing to stay on top of the division. They do have that Max Fried that pitches every fifth day, and you kind of like your chances when he's got the ball.
A great lineup can cover up some warts, and the Orioles aren't hitting, from what I'm watching. You know, these guys are underachieving at the plate as well. But, you know, about the draft, Vinny, you and I like to go over it. And I'm finally going to put out there a couple players. You know, left tackles don't just fall out of trees. And if you find one that you really believe in my opinion, you got to take it. Now, having said that, I think whoever's rating these players in all the positions, I think they're – this year, it's just a little bit odd to me. In other words, the quarterbacks, I have Milrose right there with any of those players. As far as being productive on the field, yes, his arm, he's got to learn to develop some sort of touch on the ball. But, Vinny, every position ranking I'm watching, I don't think the best player is being rated number one except for a running back. He's definitely the best running back. But if the Ravens, I'd like to see them draft a corner on the second round, and I think there's two or three of them that are right there. And South Carolina players this year, I loved every one of them. If they'd have made the playoffs, Bob and Vinny, they would have been the team that nobody wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Their safety and their defensive tackle, Sanders, he's 300 pounds. He's a little light, but I don't care where the Ravens get a pass rush as long as they get a pass rush. And, Vinny, did you ever get a chance to watch him on tape? And I'll take it off air.
Who?
Sanders from South Carolina.
I saw Emin Wari.
Thanks, Cliff.
I didn't watch Sanders, but I watched Emin Wari, and I liked Emin Wari a lot. And I agree with you, Cliffy, that South Carolina would have made it into the tourney. They'd have been tough to deal with.
Well, if they start winning some of them games during the season in SEC battles, I mean, they talk a good game. And they get that yapper running here, but they got to start winning some of those things. Let's get back to the – but what about – get back to offensive tackle, though. I mean, outside of what, the top four or five, and we were talking, what was it, yesterday or last week? Yesterday, Connerly out of Oregon. I mean,
he's going to be – he's a very athletic guy, and I kind of said he's going to be like Roger Rosengarten. I think he's going to get better as he goes along, and a year from now when he's probably about 318, 320 and a lot stronger – then I think you got a guy. But I think he could come in, and if you're patient enough to start with him from the get-go, I think he's going to keep – he'll be like Roger. Just keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah, and a close point about the Orioles offense, I was talking about it yesterday. Five homers, one game. Good luck getting the next one as they go kind of droughty there where the Yankees keep bashing away. I know Jazz Chisholm's not, you know, Rod Carew with the batting average, but he's hitting his share of home runs, even though they lost last night. All right, let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm not used to saying that. I'm used to saying good morning.
Yeah.
You know, quit y'all in the afternoon this time, though.
You're not getting in any trouble, are you? I mean, it is later in the day.
No. I've just been working hard. You know, that's all, man. Out of trouble. Yeah. hey, a lot of people talking about, you know, the fire high, so Brandon High. You know, is it Brandon High's fault that our number one, number two, number three starter has been hurt. As a matter of fact, our number six starter, Suarez, you throw him in there. We got four starting pitchers that's out. You know what I mean? What can you do? No matter what team, you can have Tony La Russa coaching this team, man. It's going to be the same situation. No, you don't got no pitching.
Yeah, he was dealt a short deck there. But a lot of people are disgruntled with Hyde on decisions he made 2 years ago in certain games, and he does break out the hook too much, and the lineup changes literally every game, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little consistency there, but you didn't have Gunnar Henderson for the first week plus of the season. You've been without Kowser for 3 weeks, so Kerstad takes 100 off the elbow, so he couldn't go Sunday, so he's kind of hamstrung there too.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of blame is going on Michael Elias, because he's the one that brought back CNA Perez and gave up Danny Colon.
Who hasn't given Colon up a run yet.
Exactly. What is this guy thinking, man? Like, and what do you think the solution is for us to be able to hit lefties, though? Like, I think we, like, last in the league, we're hitting lefties. Like,
well, the solution was signing Gary Sanchez and Ramon Laureano and all of these guys, and they're not getting it done. And Gary Sanchez, if you remember, was supposed to be an upgrade over McCann. Offensively, right. Said we'll sacrifice defense and go for the offensive potential of Gary Sanchez, who's yet to hit a home run. And, you know, when he does play, it's spotty at best. Laureano did have the monster game Saturday against the Reds, so he gets a pass, kind of.
Sanchez, though, he can do what McCann can't do. He can pitch, though. So you see him another day, though. So.
Yeah. Well, if he's pitching, the Orioles are losing. I mean, that's the thing. Right. All right, Rashawn, thanks, man. Yeah, but they've made this mess, if you want to call it that. And again, it's a 100-game sample size. Enough of this. It's early in the season. This goes back to July of last year, and the group that's sucking now is worse than the one that lost to Kansas City in the playoffs. And I hope I'm wrong, and I usually am. But no better way to start than the current time and go down to Nationals Park and handle your business against the Nats, who are kind of struggling themselves. All right, yesterday, one winning drive, Roquan Smith, among others, met with the media. We've talked about Malachi Starks enough to the point where I kind of wish they drafted him so we could talk about him even more. But here's Roquan talking about his fellow Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah, I think I met him, dapped him up and everything like that. But, you know, when those guys are, you know, right before going into a game and stuff, those guys are focused on what they're focused on, and that's like getting a W. So got a great deal of respect for him. I heard a lot of great things about him, like Georgia guy, really, really mature for his age, really good player. Also, I know Kirby, Schumann, all those guys have a great deal of respect for him and the way he played a game of football.
Oh, it sounds like he did a little homework.
Sure.
Not a lot, but I mean I'm sure they probably asked him about him and stuff. And the guy that may know him is Monken,
because he was there just a couple years ago.
Yeah, so Todd probably knows him and, you know, knows the biggest things you want to know is, I mean, because you can see the film. You want to know what kind of guy, you know, what kind of worker, those kind of things. You know, that's what you want to know about. But the thing about it is look at all those Georgia dudes on defense at Philly.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they've all been pretty productive, good players because, you know what, they're well-taught and they're really good fundamentally coming out of Georgia, just like Alabama guys were.
Yeah, and now they have Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
On top of it. Tyler Linderbaum, and we talked about possible extension with him, and he's just going to let the process play out. But Cam Jurgens just got paid, speaking of Philly, with the Eagles. I'm guessing there's a comp finally, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just made aware of that. You know, he's obviously one of the best centers in the league, a really high caliber player, so excited for him.
And for me, too.
Yes. He was like, oh, yes. He could have said, you know, my agent called me and told me that right away. That's probably who called him because, hey, you just made more money today, buddy. You know, so, hey, more power to him. You know, I mean, they deserve it because playing center, you know, I mean, they get the crap beat out of them every snap. And you got to be smart as a whip to play center because a lot of times you're making all the checks and everything at the line of scrimmage. So you've got a very difficult job.
Now, last year's starting left guard as the season began was Andrew Voorhees. Then he got hurt and then McCary went in there and, you know, the rest is history for the Ravens making it to the playoffs again. But Tyler Linderbaum was asked about Voorhees as we talk about getting a left guard. Have we forgotten about this guy?
Yeah, you know, Andrew's a starting caliber player. No, obviously, the thing with him, just obviously coming off the knee injury, OTAs last year was the first reps he's gotten in like 2 years. So he's just making jumps and jumps each and every day. I thought he played at a high level for the games that he was in. And then obviously dealing with the ankle injury was unfortunate. You know, he's another guy that I have the utmost confidence in when he steps in there that he's going to play at a high level.
The only thing is like in those couple sentences, Bob, what he mentioned, two things that happened to him, knee and ankle.
Yep.
And that's the problem with Voorhees is, and at SC it was the same thing. He was always hurt, you know, and he comes to the Ravens and bam, you know, he's starter. I remember Harb saying beginning of the year, the only thing for sure is Voorhees starting left guard.
Handed him the job pretty much.
Yep. And then gets a start and then gets hurt. And then McCary takes over and, you know, he never gets a job back. And now, I'm guessing they're not so sure because you can't have a guy, especially one of your five. I mean, the other thing, you know, I mean, Ronnie was there the whole time, Filele the whole time, Rosengarten the whole, you know, Linderbaum there most of the time. So, I mean, with the O-line, you want continuity, and I don't know if they can have it with him, and he might be better by being your swing dude.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Punthouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Craig Laughlin was supposed to join us today. Doctor appointment change. Have him on tomorrow. So we'll talk Locker ahead of game two of that series. Caps up one zip. Overtime thriller yesterday against the Montreal Canadiens. Funhouse with Nolan. And then Inside Access followed by BBT here on The Fan. Nolan, before we get to your Funhouse, Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny Serrato, of course, got Inside Access too, followed by BBT at 5:30. Orioles and Nats game one. So WrestleMania was in Vegas. Highest grossing WWE event in the history of that entity, but I guess you had some problems with it?
Well, they love to beat their chest about we're the best at this, the best at that, most money. It's the same thing. Every single event they put out, this is the record set for attendance. I mean, there's the one thing that Vince McMahon's gone, but that'll never change. The carnyism of Vince, you know, propping stuff up.
Sure.
All that stuff. But anyway, the event itself is mediocre overall. And the main event was abysmal. I mean, people are livid. People are up in arms.
And main event for people that follow.
John Cena and Cody Rhodes, which we talked about it like a month ago because it made ESPN headlines at the time. John Cena turned heel. First time in over 20-some years in his career.
In real life, people were actually surprised that that happened.
Right. I mean, well, it was an interesting writing decision on their part.
Right.
The Rock was at the center of all of it, at the center of the storyline, bringing it all together. And who was nowhere to be found at all on WrestleMania weekend? The Rock. Not one appearance. Nowhere. Not in the main event. Didn't show face at all. He ruined it. He ruined the entire storyline.
So if he would have came out and...
He should have been directly involved in the finish. Instead, Travis Scott, the rapper, was directly involved in the finish of the match. Completely devalued Cody Rhodes' run for the past year as champion. Made him look weak. Made him look terrible. John Cena wins a title, world title, for a record 17th time, even though that's BS. There's a ton that went unrecognized for Ric Flair. He's probably still the true holder of that record. But nonetheless, I don't know. Fans are confused. They were cheering for Cena leading up to Mania like the last couple weeks, even though he's supposed to be the bad guy. They started booing Cody Rhodes, even though he's supposed to be the good guy. Just a mess. Just a mess all around.
So, as you know, I have no problem ragging on referees or umpires. I haven't watched wrestling in 25 years. Have the referees gotten any better? Or are they still distracted by guys like Travis Scott coming in with folding chairs baseball bats?
If they let a guy like Travis Scott, who's built like me, scrawny as can be, pull him out of the ring and interfere with the match.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they should go to replay. How about that? Oh. You need wrestling replay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the fun house.
Quick Draw's Fun House.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here from Jack in Pikesville says, Mike Elias did a good job drafting the stars on our roster right now, but only because of all the top five draft picks he had at his disposal. Now that the Orioles are picking in the 2025 range, maybe even later, they aren't going to land the same star-type players. They have to do a better job in-house, and that starts with firing who's at the top to take that next step.
Well, Jordan Westberg was a later first-round pick. Jackson Holiday. Gunnar Henderson was a second-round pick, so they've had success there. They haven't developed any homegrown pitchers. I think that's where we have to start wondering how this is all going to turn around. Do you start investing your first-round capital into some of these arms with the expectation that sooner or later those arms are going to get hurt? Hey, Scooble, coming out of high school, had Tommy John surgery for Detroit. Casey Mize was the number one pick in the draft. Tommy John surgery. Part of the reality.
Speaking of development, Eric in Bel Air here says the development of guys at the major league level once they get here seems to be very lacking. Guys show a lot of promise early on, but appear to plateau from there. How many of these young saviors have run through the system, continue to improve in the minors, and then when they get to the major league level, take off even further from there? I see a lot of guys stagnating at the major league level.
I think the whole team's kind of stagnant right now. Gunner's still a stud, and any team in baseball would trade to get him in a heartbeat. Kowser was second in the Rookie of the Year voting. I believe Adley finished, second his year of eligibility. Gunner won it. Westberg was an all-star last year. I don't think that's... I mean, some have, not all of them.
And our final text here, talking about pitching injuries. Texter says, I blame all the injuries around the league on the inclusion of the pitch clock. Since they started using the clock, it seems there are way more injuries. Pitchers don't have time to recover between each at-bat, each pitch at that matter, especially with the higher speeds and velocity, all the emphasis on spin rate as well. It's just too much stress, too short amount of time.
How about max effort being a part of that? I'm not saying that that isn't part of the problem, but arm injuries have been going on in baseball long before the pitch clock became part of the reality. I think they want you to throw 100 miles an hour when you're 16 years old. It's all about max effort and working in some breaking stuff. As we've said, and this has been said for years and years and years, taking a baseball and throwing it is an unnatural act, and doing it at a high rate of speed, even more unnatural. So that's got a lot to do with it. But Orioles right now, they need someone that could throw it for more than six innings. How's that sound? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Dean Kramer, you're next on the clock. We'll be back tomorrow for Woman Crush Wednesday. Inside Access coming up next, followed by BBT. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.